It might pass without any Republican votes. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The next round of Corona financial aid.
The bottom line is the American Rescue Plan meets the moment.
President Biden calls it vital, helping people in need, creating millions of jobs. Republicans complain it's full of non-COVID spending. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more on the bill live.
Dave, the $1.9 trillion relief plan includes $160 billion in aid to fight the pandemic, expanded unemployment benefits, and $1,400 direct payments for millions of Americans. There's also money for state and local governments, something Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calls a blue state bailout.
There's no doubt states like Florida, who did it right, are going to come up with the short end of the stick against other states that did it wrong.
A provision raising the minimum wage to $15 is in the House bill, but it's effectively dead in the Senate, where the parliamentarian has ruled it cannot be included in the final bill. Dave?
Right, so the last round of COVID relief with $600 stimulus checks and extra unemployment benefits got people shopping.
Both consumer incomes and spending rose last month. Incomes were up 10% and spending rose by 2.4%. It's the first increase in spending in 3 months.
Fox's Jenny Casola. One thing the government did to help people struggling to pay rent, the federal judge wants undone, ruling it's unconstitutional, siding with landlords who'd sued.
The Trump administration gave broad powers to the CDC in September to temporarily halt evictions with an order aimed at curbing the spread of COVID-19 due to housing insecurity. The protection was extended by Congress and again in January by the Biden administration until the end of March.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. An FDA panel is this morning reviewing Johnson & Johnson's vaccine, a one-dose version already deemed safe. It could be the third approved COVID vaccine, with 20 million doses expected to be available by the end of next month. America's listening to Fox News.
So much is happening, but who can you trust? You need to check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing news channel in America. Watch it on all major cable systems and see shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're giving you the real story on Biden and Pelosi. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone now, or watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, and more. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. So should you.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here, but you can do more than wait for your turn. Here's how. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too. And masks? Well, they protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them. Wear a mask, watch your distance, and make a big difference now.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for snug top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry leading quality, and trend setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Yuma. This is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Got my partner, George Davis, also known as Big George. Morning, George.
Big George.
Big George in the house. Morning, Tom. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Our number here, 344-5258. Give us a call if you have any money questions or investment questions. And how are you doing today, Russ?
I have
Happy
questions.
Friday.
I mean, I want to know why I'm not making more money now.
Well, I think the market's just after yesterday, barely positive for February. It's been a little bit of a rocky road here lately. With
good start for January, though.
Good start for January, yeah.
Yeah,
we're bound to have...
This morning it was down like 1% or something. As it rebounded a little bit, I've been watching it.
Yeah, I've been seeing some rising interest rates lately, Tom, so... They're saying that's having an effect on some of these growth stocks that were, you know, have been doing really well.
There's some metrics out there that Warren Buffett has some type of metrics formula that he has, and that's saying we use his metrics. That's saying the market's higher than what it was before the internet bubble, which was a tough downturn.
Oh yeah.
I don't think the market's cheap. I don't think real estate's cheap either right now. But doesn't mean it can't. Maybe continue on more, but being a realist, at some point we're going to have some pullback in the economy.
Yep. Which is good. It's healthy for it.
So the big thing, I mean, it's kind of a tougher decision, but they think that after they get herd immunity with this virus, and believe it or not, these financial guys follow this virus because they think that's going to be a big part of the economy. And one guy from First Trust thinks we should be there by the end of April, 1st of May. And his theory is about 18% of the people have the vaccination, and they're going to do more. And then 40% of the people, he thinks, has the antibodies from having it, whether they know they had it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to take too much to get to, 75-80%. So if that happens, they think that as soon as the economy opens up and retail and stores and all that, restaurants, they think people are going to go out and just, I hate to say, party like it's 1999, but go on trips, spend money, splurge, maybe new furniture, but people are kind of bottled up and they're going to spend some money. So the second half of the year, numbers that are coming out, they think GDP is going to be above 5%. For the last quarter of last year, the GDP number was 4%, which isn't bad. Anything above 3%. Means the economy is
growing.
Growing. So, if you look at the numbers, like I'm looking at some numbers. January 21st, there was about over 10,000 cases a day of COVID, and now that's down to like 2,800 a day, and that's give or take about a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the numbers have really came down. I mean, and I think if that happens, we're going to see it, and then hopefully this economy will open up and people will feel better about it.
Yeah, that's 40% already had it, plus how many vaccinations did you say? About 18, 20?
They said 18. This
18,
said, so. I would say 18%.
Yeah, so if he's right, we're looking at 58% already.
Yeah, and
together,
the vaccinations
so.
Are coming out.
Well, then it's
pretty,
over. I'm done. No more masks.
Yeah, pretty quick, though. I don't know how many more people they're going to vaccinate in the next 30 days, but I think they have a plan to do... probably raise that percentage up more, so...
Mm-hmm. They have about, over 6, almost 7 million vaccinations in the long-term care facilities, which, of course, account for about 35% of all COVID deaths, so they're doing a good job of getting, people in long-term care and nursing homes vaccinated as well, so that's a big deal.
So this metric that they call it the Warren Buffett metrics, basically during the internet bubble, which was first quarter of 2000 was the high point, the year 2000, the metric was 1.37%, and then the housing bubble, which was the second quarter of 2007, there was 1.05, and then the metrics, and now it's 1.72. So it's quite a bit higher than the internet or the housing bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean disaster's on the corner, but at some point there will be a...
I would think they would 15%. They would account for, inflation and rising prices and stuff, too. I mean, it can't be the same, the money now compared to 2000 and compared to 2008. So I'm sure they adjust for inflation and difference in prices and PEs and things. So that's pretty interesting. Buffett's, a lot of people know his name. He's been around a long time when it comes to investing. So, yep.
Yep, and then they also think the stimulus bill passed through the House. I think it's going to go to the Senate, right? Is that right, Russ Clark?
I think so.
Yeah. So if that happens, I think there's one point something trillion coming down the pipe.
1.9. But 9% of it goes to COVID. It's a COVID relief bill. Well, 1.9 trillion. They say 9% is actually going to COVID.
Yeah.
The rest of it is pork.
Yeah. Still a lot of money being pumped in the system, no matter who gets it. You know, I mean, it's money in motion. So anyway,
a lot of it's going to be scheduled to be spent until 23 and 24, way out in the future. And a lot of it's going to make states whole, like that have had, like California,
I think 400 billion,
Illinois, Washington, which have had bad decisions for decades. So,
well, this article I was reading about was that it would lift the economy by 0.6% this year. So GDP it would help by only 0.6%. But that's going to be very short-lived and begin to wear off as early as 2022. Because most of it is, you know, the stimulus checks and people getting money. And then
0.6 is still about 15-18% increase.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's better than a stick in the eye.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the deficit, you got to be careful of the deficit, too, because we're adding to that. So that's a long-term where the government's paying itself, you know, paying back at the loans and interest instead of paying towards infrastructure and include, you know, making the GDP better for longer term. So that's some of the issue.
I think once they figure out the passing this bill for the COVID relief, although only 8% is going to COVID, I think what they're going to probably do too, because I think the Republicans in the House want to do it, they just haven't figured out how to come to terms, to do the infrastructure bill. And that talking $1 trillion there. Do we build bridges and roads and things of that sort? Hopefully not too much pork money in that, but we'll see.
Well, infrastructure is, that needs to be done. You know,
that's a necessity. I mean, it's probably good money spent. If you're going to spend money crazy like this, you might as well spend on something that will last another 50 years or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of the debt that's in these states that they want to bail out is from bad pension programs and stuff.
Bad management.
Yeah. And they continue to do exactly what they're doing, like California. They give tons of money away every day, and yet they've got these huge deficits, you know, huge upside down.
Yeah.
And they continue to give money away. New York, you know, like, let's give money to illegals, let's give stimulus money, but yet they have none.
If there's not a lot of accountability, then eventually they're just going to know we can screw it up, and the federal government will come back in. And
the federal government can structure a debt. The states are not supposed to. They do games with it to make it happen, like we did in Arizona, where, you know, we sold the Capitol building and leased it back and stuff like that to play games. We really did have debt, which has now been cleaned up. But California's got billions in debt that's technically not debt because they postponed it. But they're just getting deeper, and these stimulus got to take care of bad management, which is a shame because the states that are doing well will pay for it.
Yeah, we'll not get the handout.
And California will never change. New York will never change. They'll continue to do bad management.
Yeah.
So they expect the stimulus package to be voted on by the end of the month, Tom. So, I mean, the House is
Monday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's March 1st.
Yeah, so
I think it's supposed to be today or so something.
Well, it passed the House with a partisan basis, awaiting approval in the full House, which is the end of February. But the main battle is going to be in the Senate. But they're saying they're turning, Russ can help us with this. This is what I don't quite understand. They're turning to a budget reconciliation to allow legislation to pass the Senate with a simple majority vote.
Yeah, and they do that and pass it through as long as it's not something that affects taxes. They can do it. And I think they do it like once a year where they can pass things through to once a year. But the things they're putting to reconciliation thing is like H.R. 1 or, you know, some stuff that's major legislation,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get around a filibuster and trying to get around
that. Okay.
Which
otherwise it would be what, 2/3? They would
60% to get
60%
to get around
a
filibuster.
Okay.
Yeah, those kind of things. But There's a lot of people I talk to who said that, you know, there's just too much in that that doesn't qualify, that won't make it. But that's up to the lawyers, legal system, and who knows?
Sure.
George, we don't know. But there's so much in there. They pack so much into it. There's probably even going to be some Democrats that say, that's too much for me.
I would agree. Yeah, there is. So
we'll all have to wait. We're spectators at this. Right? You guys need to take a break, by the way.
All right, let's do it. We'll be right back with our first break Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We're talking about things happening financially. One of the things that has happened, and George will talk about it here in a second, is a lot of people aren't aware of this, but the Biden administration, right?
Yeah, the Biden administration. Yeah.
They opened up Obamacare again so people can enroll. So if you're at a certain income level, you know, sometimes it's free. It's kind of prorated. Sometimes it costs a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and give people the info, because that's kind of a big deal if people are looking for health insurance.
Yeah, if you're uninsured and they opened up, they give you a bit of a reprieve. They opened up the federal exchange, they call it, for February 15 to May 15, so right now, to get coverage by 2021. So it's healthcare.gov, and you put everything in, the information they ask you to see if you can get coverage. Now, also you may not know is if you buy insurance through the exchange, you also qualify for some tax credits. So I'm not a tax attorney, of course, but you might as well look at that, especially if you're walking around without any coverage right now or it's not affordable to you. So,
do they give the limits? Because, I mean,
healthcare.gov.
There are income limits? There's income limits.
There is. Well, yeah, and there's phase outs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you have to get on there and see. So they don't give them to me in this article, though.
Okay. Yeah, they're single and then they're married, joint married.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and kids and all that. So, yeah, they take that into account. But and I've talked to some people that, you know, didn't have any coverage at all, and now they do. So But February 15 to May 15, so get going on that.
That's a big deal because, you know, the window to get new coverage is such a small one. It's only like November, December, you know, small window.
Right, right.
And if you don't pull the trigger, you're done. And if something happens in the middle of the year.
Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm talking middle of the year, like July. There's no avenues. You don't do it. You can't get. You can't trade. Like, you lose your job and you lose your health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do? You have to go to the market.
You get sick. Them,
but you can't,
don't have coverage. Yeah.
But you're limited. You can't go to some of them. Yeah.
Well, when they first came out with that, Russ, I remember, wasn't it just there were so many people flooding the system and they weren't really ready for it. And it was pretty tough to.
You're right. There was, but they weren't set up for what little they had. I mean,
yeah,
it was terrible.
Exactly. So I'm sure it's much better now.
It is. And I started playing with it just to see if it was better because John Minori used to sit here for 2 hours trying to get through and couldn't.
Oh?
You know, just to see what would happen.
Right.
And he finally did get Obamacare.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he had to pay for it.
Yeah. But
then he found out the only doctors who accepted were in Phoenix. And that was early on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a total disaster.
Hmm.
Of course, it didn't get in as much bad press as it should have, but...
Yeah,
Well,
that's interesting. It'd be interesting just to take a look at it, even if you already do have coverage.
Yeah,
it's
a very helpful system now, and there is help available. There's helplines, and
believe it or not, I have some people I've talked to, even some clients that are, you know, retiring before 65, and they're rolling the dice for a couple of years. I'm like, that's not good to go. Don't get down here and check this out. If you're
very scary.
Yeah, it is. It is. So,
yeah.
But it happens.
But look, for somebody that doesn't have a job, that's going to pay full board and get a decent health care coverage, you're talking $1,500 a month.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I mean, we're not talking small thing.
No. No, and that's high deductible, too. $1,200, $1,500. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, so I know we announced it or mentioned it, but we'll mention it again. We were named the Yuma's best financial planning firm. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and mention it again?
I think second year in a row. But anyways,
you should mention that every day.
If you ask
every show, we should have a commercial on it.
Well, I'm leading into what I'm going to be talking about.
Okay, sorry.
But if you ask the average person, you know, what is financial planning, or if you ask someone what's estate planning, the typical person can't answer it, right? So I think you're you're above average person, Russ, especially with the IQ. So what do you think financial planning entails if you had to throw a couple stats?
I'm above room temperature. Financial planning to me is a long-term thing. I think long-term instantly, long-term, not just short-term. But particularly when I think of you guys, I think long-term, like college for kids that aren't of age yet, or retirement, or a second home if you want to buy that, or something that you're trying to do. Those kinds of plans long term is what I would think, particularly in relation to your job.
Yeah. So the simple answer is, basically we try to get a personal balance sheet on somebody, and balance is, you know, what assets do you have, also what liabilities do you have, you know, what do you owe, what are you paying interest rate wise, and basically come up with.
How many people walk in and have that available for you?
Like first meeting, none. and that's the frustrating part.
That would be normal.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part on our side. We use eMoney software, which is one of the better financial planning tools. But, you know, we can't, if we don't have the right data, then it's garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So we basically give people homework jobs and things. And some people always want to do it, but they never get to it. So, you know, they're not going to do one.
It's one of those things like going to the doctor. You don't want to know how sick you are.
Yeah. Well, but the flip side, too, you know, we tell people is, hey, you know, you could be in the worst financial health ever. And I give the analogy of going to the gym. If you go to the gym for one day, you're better off than you were the day before. So, you know, baby steps to get you on where you need to be if you haven't done much. But anyways, once we also look at the income statement to see basically what type of income someone's making, whether it's W-2 income or they might have rental income or some other income. And then we try to figure out some type of budget on how they're spending the money.
And that would be the budget I would think about when I talk to you. But I was just talking to my daughter about that even yesterday and setting those things up.
Yeah. But you'd be amazed. I mean, I've seen people in town that live in a big house, have brand new cars every other year, and you think, you know, these guys are, and you know them, and you find out what they're making, and they're making good money, but you look at what's hitting the bottom line, not much. Then you look at other people that, you know, have an average job, and they're socking away, you know, percentage-wise, way more than they probably should. So we look at the income statement and basically try to come up, do some planning on what they're trying to do, whether it's retirements, probably always on the radar, but also, like you said, college planning is a big thing. Also, people have goals to, you know, maybe next time they buy a car, they want to pay cash, you know, believe it or not.
That's a great goal.
Yeah, because most people, I mean, high percentage that don't. Or, you know, maybe save enough money to buy the first rental house or just whatever they're trying to do. But we basically help them understand their balance sheet and what they need to do to get better at what they're doing, which is building their net worth and hopefully have a rainy day money. You know, most people, they say you should keep about 3 to 6 months of your what you bring in a month for work. You should have somewhere safe and maybe in a bank or somewhere. But the average American's like, what, two paychecks away from having nothing?
Yeah, but savings actually up right now from where it was.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot with COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. COVID, I mean,
went from like 5% up to like, you know, 13 to 15%.
Which is kind of encouraging. I don't know how long it's going to last.
Well, that's when COVID, when the herd immunity kicks in, there's going to be a lot of money with people with money that are going to go out and make those little spurges.
Yeah.
Vacation, you know, TV or
something they want.
Well, that's what they're saying about that COVID relief plan is everyone's not going to run out and buy a new dishwasher. They're going to save that money. So we're talking about the financial planning, Tom, and you touched on, you know, the long-term process, but you incorporate, it also helps people make good decisions, because even me, being a financial advisor, I know I've made poor decisions financially. Everybody has. If you look at your Social Security,
you also made some health decisions, George. That probably went the best. That's why we call you Big George.
That's right.
I knew you had something to throw in there. But if you have a pension, maybe Arizona State or a federal pension, Social Security, if you're married, there's a lot of decisions to make, especially when it comes time to when to take the Social Security, when to wait. Maybe you have a spousal benefit that you want to utilize. So the long-term planning is starting now. I mean, that's what we look at when we incorporate these different income.
A lot of people don't realize this, but if you take the Arizona retirement, if you're working for the state, there's like 22 different ways you can take it when you look at all the different variables.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you know, one's on one life only, one's on joint life if you're married, there's joint for 10 years, joint for 15 years. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's different variables. They change a little bit. But there's a lot going on there. The other thing about a lot of these pension plans that people don't realize is they don't go up with inflation at all, like the Arizona retirement, other pension plans.
They're frozen right where they are.
Yeah, so I mean, if you get $3,000 a month, you're getting $3,000 forever.
Wow.
Maybe in 30 years, yeah, 20 years.
So what, but what that means is, you know, you're, and that's where I think e-money software is such a big deal, because we can compound an inflation rate that we think is reasonable. Also, you know, look at your tax rate. And those two things alone will eat into your money. I mean, if you, with a 3% inflation rate, which is kind of the average they use, over a 20-year period, your money will be cut in half on buying power. So if you put $100,000 under your mattress, pulled it out 20 years later, and you want to go out and buy something, you'd probably buy half the amount of goods as you could when you stuck it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people we see can retire, because their idea of retiring is I can pay my bills so I could retire.
Right.
But what they don't understand is if you don't have that going up over time, you eventually can't pay your bills.
And even things like Social Security goes up, but it doesn't really go up at the rate.
Yeah, the average is 1.5, I think, if you took like a 25-year average. So it's about half of what inflation is. So
the last one was what, 1.3? For 2021?
Yeah. And it could go higher, but it's based on the metric. But at least it does go up. But the problem with that, Social Security goes up a little bit. Also, usually your Medicare goes up. So people never get out ahead because one's taken
that
from the other.
Yeah.
So, but hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
And
Roger with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, good morning, Yuma. This is Tom Rush, Money Talk, Yuma Investment Group. Got Big George Davis with me. Hey, one of the things I wanted to mention is Adrian Elder from our office is starting a series of seminars for our federal employees. And there's a lot of federal employees in Yuma. I think statistically it's 5,000 plus when you add up everybody. But it's going to be a webinar, and it's going to be done on the first Friday of every month at noon. And it's on social media, so you might be able to sign up through there. Or you can call our office, and we can get you signed up. It's 329-1700, 329-1700. But he's going to be going over the retirement plans, the FERS, the CSRS, the Thrift Savings Plan, and a bunch of other items that have a direct effect on federal employees. Adrian's actually titled in our office as a federal retirement consultant, which is FRC is the symbol, but he basically has gotten his designation and taken multiple classes to get qualified to understand the federal employee situation. So anyways, if you guys are interested, anyone interested in this webinar, it's at noon on the first Friday of the month. Call our office, 329-1700. You can go to Yuma Investment Group. I think we have a Facebook account that it's going to be posted. But anyways, it hasn't been one of those in a while, so it should be good info.
Yeah, it should be real good info. A week from now, first Friday starts in March.
Yep.
So, a couple things Tom wanted to touch on before we continue, because we're getting close to that tax time. No one wants to hear April 15th, of course. But you can still contribute to your IRA and your Roth IRA up until tax time, up until April 15th for 2020. And the limits are $6,000 if you're under 50, and there's an extra $1,000 catch-up, so $7,000 if you're over. So if you're wondering how it affects your taxes when you contribute to a Roth IRA, there's no spot on your tax return to put that contribution there.
So they actually do ask if you made a contribution and you plug it in, it doesn't help you tax-wise.
Yeah.
So I think they want to know if you made a contribution.
Well, they want to make sure you're not going over. Like you're contributing too much. But there is really, when you do your taxes, there's no place to actually mark it that you did it, that dollar amount. So it's kind of interesting. So, of course, a traditional IRA, if you find, or even a SEP IRA, if you find your taxable income, you want to lower it for 2020, it's not too late to contribute to an IRA or a SEP IRA if you qualify. Of course, a 401k is calendar year, so you can't get a deduction still on that.
Yeah, and sometimes you can do both. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I got a 401k, so I can't do a Roth, or I got a 401k, I can't do an IRA. And there's rules that a lot of times you can end up doing both of them.
Yeah, and in the show we talk about the Roth being one of the best-kept secrets out there still, and you contribute to a Roth IRA with after-tax money, so you don't get to deduct it, but all the growth and interest and dividends, as long as you wait 5 years and 59.5 are tax-free. So you can actually put in for 2020 and 2021 at this point if you want to look into opening one of those up.
So here's a thought process that no one ever thinks about, but we bring it up to people. Let's just say you want to fund a Roth IRA. You want to put in, you're over 50, so you want to put in $7,000.
Okay.
And you come to me, I'm your financial advisor, and say, let's fund a Roth. Read good things about it. You can do that. And I'm assuming the income limits are there, and let's make the assumption you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you might consider doing is taking IRA money and converting it to Roth IRA. And basically, when you convert IRA money to Roth IRA money, it becomes taxable. But if you had $7,000 that you can pay tax money on, because I'm kind of recommending you don't fund the $7,000 Roth, but you convert money over from the IRA to the Roth, you can probably convert upwards of $20,000 plus, give or take, with that tax.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting a lot more money funded in, and the Roth IRA is tax-free forever. So are you better off having $7,000 in there that's going to grow, or would you better off having $20,000?
And then what, the $7,000 would pay the extra taxes?
Yeah.
Because you have to pay the taxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get a more bang for your buck.
I like
money,
that. I'm glad I thought of that.
Getting money, yeah, yeah. Getting money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you look at where taxes are going to go, no one knows. But with a $27, $28 trillion deficit, good thing in the next 1 to 25 years, you know.
They're not going down.
Taxes are going to go up. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
By putting money in these type of accounts, you basically don't pay any tax as it grows. And when you pull the money out, assuming you have to 59.5, it's all tax-free. And it's one of the few places the government will not hit you when things grow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal. I mean, people should be using that, especially the younger you are, because the longer you can keep the money in there and have it growing, then it compounds and it's a better effect, you know, than if someone's going to do a Roth and then pull out in 3 years or something.
Right.
And technically they can't, because once you fund a Roth for the first time, you have to keep it in for a five-year period or there are penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And when we do our financial planning, Tom, that's one of the, really only one of the instruments, a couple more, but that is tax-free. You know, you talked about your pension, Arizona State or federal, that's taxable. Social Security could be, depending on what your
Most
income is.
Most of the time
is.
It's taxable because
yeah.
It's not a high
so.
Income on it.
Gives you an extra bucket there to pull tax-free out of.
And if you know, a lot of people should use it as an estate planning tool, because if that gets passed on to your beneficiaries, say your kids, that it comes out tax-free to them also. So, you know, if I was going to inherit my mom's IRA account or my mom's Roth IRA account,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely want the Roth. I mean, all things being
absolutely.
Equal.
Yeah, you give the others to your brothers.
Yeah. My mom does have a Roth and no IRA, so. And the other thing about, you know, if you don't want to bite the bullet and convert IRA money to Roth IRA because it's taxable too much, they you can drag over as much as you want every year. So you can be on a plan where you might drag, you know, a couple thousand, next year a couple thousand. So you can have a slow process to get everything over to the tax-free side.
Yeah, it's not an all or nothing, and this time of year is a good time to be planning for that too, Tom, because you have, let's say you did convert $20,000 and you knew in the ballpark you were going to be 0-5, you have 10 months to save for that. Because it'll be, you know, 2021, you don't have to pay taxes on your conversion until next year.
Yeah, you do it earlier in the year too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I want to talk about, and this comes up quite a bit, is when people pass away, there's certain things that have to be done. And naturally, if they're a married couple and one passes away, it's a little different from if you're single. But basically, someone has to be the executor of the estate. And a lot of times, if someone's not named, then it basically will go to the probate court, and they will basically appoint an administrator. Sometimes it's a public administrator where they don't know the person, But most of the time, one of the family members would step in and try to become the administrator. But a lot of things happen once people pass away.
I have a question. A lot of times I'll see executor / trustee. So what's the difference? Is it, are they
It could be the same person. A trust executor is someone in charge of someone's info.
Estate or info.
Yeah, when they're dead. But a trustee is a term used on trust accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone sets up a trust account, they're the trustees of that.
Or they assign a trustee. It could be a corporation even.
It could be the
even,
same person who died.
It
could be a spouse. It could be the son. But, yeah, kind of the same thing, but one's involving a trust and one's just not involving a trust. But anyways, what is probate? Again, this is something, if you ask the typical person, eight or nine out of ten will probably miss it. But probate is basically a legal process that involves the courts, where they basically look at someone who's passed away, and they try to identify, you know, what assets the person has. They usually have to get appraisals on the assets if they're hard to get appraisal on. They have to pay the debt and the taxes of the estate or the person. And then once whatever's left over, then they got to distribute out to the beneficiaries. And for some reason, if there's no will or trust, then they will go by the rules of what the state is on the beneficiary. So if someone didn't have a will or trust and they died, the way the state of Arizona works is that your spouse has first access to it, and then your kids have second access to it, and then your parents have third, and then your full siblings have fourth. So there's a chain of command as far as who gets the money.
When does it go to probate, Tom, if you have no... I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But if you don't have a trust or a will, like, automatically, or no beneficiaries, or...
Well,
just
so...
if it's messed up.
So there's and I'm not, by all means, just talk to an attorney, trust attorney, another show on them. But the way I understand it is, if you have a net worth, I believe it's more than, like, $92,000 for Arizona, then it has to go through the full probate system. And that involves, you know, public record, because anyone can basically see what the assets are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it could be personal. If it's under that amount, there's a short probate, like a short form you can fill out. So it's not that way for everybody, but most people have more than $90,000 of equity.
Right.
So we think it's important to understand what's going on as far as the rules and what happens. One of the things that people will have to do is, if they're married, most of the time, you know, the assets and that will flow to the other person who's living. But there are things that have to be done. Change of beneficiaries be one of them. If like me and my wife were co-trustees on our family trust, if I passed away, then she would have to take me off as a trustee because I'm dead. So certain things that have to be done to kind of clean things up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize this, but there's a step-up basis when someone passes away. So say someone bought stock at $10, and now it's at $30, and when they pass away, it's at $30. There's a step-up basis to whoever gets that money, so they don't have to pay past taxes or capital gains on any of the stock, or maybe land. It's same for land.
Yeah, real estate also, with real estate.
So it's a very good thing to do and pass on, because you're really, you know, cheating the government then if you're going to sell something and then give the money to the kids. Let the kids just inherit it, or the spouse, and then there's a step up. You pay $100,000 for a piece of property, now it's worth $500,000. You can sell it, pay tax, give the money to the kids.
So if I bought Bitcoin at 25 cents a coin, and it's worth $30,000 a coin, I give it to them, it's a step up, they don't pay capital gain.
Correct. Yep. But it has to be at
if
death.
If you pass away.
Yeah, it has to be
well,
at
I don't
death.
Want to die to do it.
It has
but
to be at
yeah,
death.
Yeah. But
you could also gift $15,000 a year. I mean, there's a gifting provision in there, but yeah.
But you can't, that only applies for a non-spouse, right? If I die and the piece of property, there's not a step up for my spouse.
In the state of Arizona, there is.
Oh, there is. Interesting.
States,
okay.
And it is. Arizona is one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's community property
good
state.
Good stuff.
So.
All right.
And we'll take another break and talk about this a little more when we get back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk, Yuma Investment Group, Tom Rush, George Davis, and we're kind of talking about what needs to be done when someone passes away. There are certain things that have to be done in a set period of time to basically settle someone's estate. It's a lot easier if someone's still married, because a married couple can do, you know, get the assets and things without too much issue, but there are certain things that need to be done. So I do want to talk about some of the things. If you, when someone passes away too, they need to get a VIN number, and the VIN number is basically a tax ID number to help settle the estate. So what they don't want to do is have someone's social security number be either getting dividends from interest or getting other money items, because that person's deceased. So they try to get, you know, have no activity happen in that social security number. So a VIN number is very important. Now, if you continue a trust when someone's gone, you know, someone says, well, I want to leave my money to my grandkids for the next 25 years. A lot of people don't realize this, but an individual trust where the people aren't living, it's a very high tax bracket. And to give you an idea, there's different levels, but if the trust makes more than $12,951 in capital gains or income, the tax bracket's 37%. Which is very high. I mean, the 37% is equivalent to someone making almost $3,000.
Yeah, and $12,000 is not that much.
Yeah.
So if you get money through a trust, you could always just take it out and put it in your trust. And then it would be fine.
Yeah, so the idea is to transfer the assets out as quick as you can to the right people.
Right.
Because if you keep them in a trust that is you know, continues on, even though they're not living, it becomes very high tax.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they want you to dissolve it. They want you to get out of it.
Yeah, if you
want to,
it gives you incentive. You know, we're going to tax that guy if you don't.
Yeah. But you can just start another trust. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Find a living person.
Then the other thing you want
living trust
to do is make sure that the required minimum distributions are done. A lot of people forget about them. I know 2020 it wasn't required because of the Trump COVID.
That's
law.
For old people, though.
Yeah, but believe it or not, you see it all the time. You know, say George was going to take his RMD in October, he dies in August, and people completely forget that he still has to take that RMD. Someone does. And a lot of times, if he doesn't take it by the end of the year, it's a 50% penalty. So in this case...
Even if he's not living.
Even if he's not living. As long as it's January 1st, then he has to take it for that year.
Mm-hmm.
So his spouse would have to take it.
For me, the clock stopped. George is dead.
Yeah. But either the spouse would have to take it...
Spend his money.
Or the beneficiary. But if not, it's a 50% penalty, which is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
A lot of people, you know, don't understand the RMD. They moved it back to age 72. With the COVID, act, was 70 and a half, and now it's 72. But basically what they do is they take the life expectancy of someone, the IRS has a life expectancy table, they take the December 31st statement of that year, and there's a little formula they work out. And usually the first year it's about a 4% withdrawal, give or take. And then every year it kind of goes up from there a little bit. So I had like a 95-year-old that was pulling out like 23% because it just keeps racketing up. So the older you get, it becomes more and more. And I think it's their way of basically having money pulled out and get taxed so that, you know, it doesn't continue on.
It all comes down to the government wanting their tax dollars. People always ask, well, how can they take, you know, a required distribution? Well, it's tax-deferred money, and they don't want you just pass it on to your kids, and they'll never see a dime of it, so they hit that RMD to get their taxes.
Always passed up on with no taxes or that. I mean, it would... There'd be a lot more wealth in the world, but that's why they get their fingers in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other key things people always do or don't do is they don't order enough death certificates. So it depends on how much assets someone has or how many companies, but you need the original death certificates. And they recommend the minimum is to order 5. But if you have a complicated situation with, you know, businesses and LLCs and properties, you know, order more than that. That's something. A lot of these companies, when you settle up an account, they want an original death certificate. So if you have 5, you're going to be giving them away, and they're going to eventually, you know, you're not going to have that many.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. Do that. The other big deal is when someone passes away and they're married, they can, if they sell their primary residence, they don't pay tax on the first $500,000. But if someone passed away and now there's only one person, and if you're single, you don't pay tax on the first $250,000 when you sell your residential house. So that person has 24 months to sell the house after their spouse dies, and they will still have the $500,000 credit.
Mil.
You go beyond the 24 months, and it's $250,000. So that's a big deal. If someone had a bigger house and, you know, they want to either downsize or do something, and it's worth more than $250,000, it makes a lot of sense to do that. Within that 2-year
period. Which quite a few houses are.
Because if not, then you're going to pay more taxes on that.
So if your primary residence is over 500, even though it's your primary residence, you will pay taxes on it? With 2 people?
Yeah. Yep. They get you on that way, too. But you also want to go and, you know, change bank account titlings or you know, you have to shut down bank accounts if you're the estate and that. They're not married.
Mm-hmm.
You want to change beneficiaries on forms. You want to change the title of properties. You might have a house in joint name or something. You know, you want to take off the deceased person. So there's actually a lot of stuff that someone needs to do to basically
credit cards,
handle the affairs.
Yep.
The big thing they have to do, too, is file the taxes for the deceased person. So that's the final thing to wrap things up. So you also want to probably know about the medical expenses, because when someone passes away, they're supposed to have all their debt paid back to who they owe. So you look at their assets, you look at what debt they owe to people, and a lot of times people might owe some medical debt, you know,
mm-hmm.
if there's a bill or something they're paying on. So you got to understand that. Also, when you file their tax return, if they have a lot of medical expenses, then maybe they get the deduction so they can have their taxes go down. So you got to understand that. If there's a, you know, if there's a safe deposit box, you got to, you know, show proper paperwork so you can get in there to see what's inside of it if you don't already have a key or how to get in. So there's a lot to do, and the bad thing is most of the time when someone passes away, it's the spouse who's the other person or the other trustee that's supposed to do it, and their frame of mind is not that great because of losing a loved one. So sometimes it makes sense to bring in a child or someone who's more non-objective and not as emotional to push through these items. Because a lot of times people just stick their head in the sand and not deal with it. They just don't want to mess with it.
Right, right.
That could cause some big problems.
That'd be my wife. She would be so brokenhearted for years to come.
She'd be on the old dating website within a week, George.
Right away.
You got to file. You got to file. You know, federal taxes, state taxes. If there's an estate problem, you got to file a federal estate tax form. Luckily, estate has really gone up. What can be passed on? So for 2020, someone can pass on 11.58 million. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't have that.
Glad that you bring that up, Tom. Talk real quick about life insurance. If somebody passes away, if they have life insurance, and I've had some phone calls, hey, how much of this is taxable? Or if they sold their house, how much is taxable? And they don't realize what happens with the life insurance part.
So life insurance is included in their estate. So if you had a $1 million life insurance part of your estate, but again, you have to be above the $11 million before Uncle Sam starts getting some. But any life insurance that comes out to the spouse or to the beneficiaries is tax-free.
Okay.
That's part of the rules of life insurance. Now, when I sit, you know, that happens most of the time, but sometimes it's not tax-free, and it's not tax-free if my company bought life insurance on me, and I never paid the premium, but the company did, and then I got, you know, then my wife collected if I passed away. That will become a taxable event to my wife because she didn't pay.
It was paid by the company.
Yeah. So sometimes you gotta, you know, weigh the pros and cons of do we, you know, pay it ourselves? Do we let the company pay it? Do we let the company pass on more money to us so I can pay it? But having, you know, $500,000 tax free is a big deal compared to $500,000
Half a million
isn't
taxable.
Tax-free. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the big thing with most things like retirement plans, 401ks, and even life insurance, change of beneficiaries. You know, sometimes people make the mistake of only having one beneficiary, their spouse. Spouse passes away, you better get someone on there pretty quick. You know, so there's a lot to do to settle someone's estate, or even if you're married to that person, to get things situated.
You talked earlier about probate. That's probably a good way to get probate involved if you only have one beneficiary and they pass away. So
yeah, most people don't understand probate, so what they end up doing is hiring an attorney to get them through probate. And if everyone doesn't agree on the settlement of the money, then it stays in probate. And there's been years and years where families or half-siblings or somebody is challenging or fighting over something, and they won't pay the money out. So
yeah, that makes Thanksgivings difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I've even seen very close families go a little haywire when there's money at stake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it could happen to anybody. But anyway, we appreciate the hour. We're up here, George. You want to say something before we close this thing down?
Well, I was just thinking, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, I'm just going to put the oldest, you know, the oldest kid or oldest son or daughter as trustee. So
a lot of issues
that.
But we got about 30 seconds left, so we'll maybe
we can talk about it next time. Yeah, so. But
okay. Have a big weekend, everybody. Enjoy Yuma.
Yeah, the weather's beautiful. We got a little bit cooled off, so. Money Talk, AM560. Be safe.
opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KVLU.